Welcome to She Knows SEO. My name is Nina Clapperton, and I am the founder of She Knows SEO. I'm so excited to be sharing SEO and AI tips with you to help you grow your website to its ultimate peaks. This is not your usual podcast, and that's because it started as a YouTube channel. So all of the videos were turned into a podcast feed, and if you're listening to this message, that means that the video was pre-made before I had this podcast channel. That means that they kind of dive right in and that they are typically more video first. So I may refer to things on the screen that you cannot see. However, if you go to @SheKnowsSEO over on YouTube, you'll be able to watch the video that accompanies it and see what I might be referring to. I also was not optimizing for audio at the time, so I apologize if some are quieter than others or aren't quite perfect in audio quality. If you can look past that, you are going to love this podcast where I share all of my SEO and AI tips. In fact, we're going to dive right into an episode right now that is exactly that. Just before we dive in, this episode is brought to you by She Knows SEO. It's sponsored by my ChatGPT Blogging Blueprint course. If you want to learn more about how to write with AI and automate your business so that you can 10 times your output, I recommend checking out my ChatGPT Blogging Blueprint course. It includes over 350 prompts that any online business owner can use to write blogs, repurpose content, write social media posts, and create online products. You can find that at sheknowsseo.co/everything. Join the course and you'll be able to get time back so that you can enjoy your life while still scaling your content creation and your income. Hi, everybody. Welcome to She Knows SEO. Today, we're going to be interviewing Kylie Lang of Life in Rural France. This is episode one of a new series I'm doing where I'm interviewing my students from the SEO roadmap to talk about all things blogging, primarily travel blogging, because that's what they do. So this interview is going to be me chatting with Kylie about how she got into Mediavine in 7 months with her travel blog. You'll learn a bit about how you can do the same, what kind of went right and wrong along the way, and what she's learned, as well as her really cool day job making quizzes, which is, I think, so cool. I love quizzes. So without further ado, I'll let you guys go and watch while Theo is demanding attention for some belly rubs. We'll see you in there. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Today, I am here with Kylie Carlson, who is the author of Life in Rural France. I always say rural wrong and I panic every time because I don't want to say the A. It's really bad. But we are here today to talk all about Kylie's blog and how she's been able to grow it even to Mediavine post HCU. Hey, Kylie, can you tell people a bit about yourself, please?
I certainly can. Thank you for that lovely introduction. So as Nina said, I'm Kylie. I run a blog called Life in Rural France, mainly because I live in rural France. And when I say rural, it's really rural. We have sheep for neighbours. And the nearest town is 15 kilometres away, or village even. So it is really, really rural. And prior to starting the blog, I've always run my own business. I've run my own business now for 25 plus years. I was an event manager in a previous life, had that business, sold that, moved to Australia, started the Wedding Academy, which I had for 15 years. And that's probably the thing that has really helped me when it's come to blogging, because I already had a very good working knowledge of websites, writing content for a course. But I kind of lost my mojo with my business. 15 years is a long time. And I'm not awfully sure that I was ever in love with the wedding industry in the first place. I was more in love with the business and the marketing side, which I absolutely loved. And I enjoyed the writing side. So I sold the business a couple of years ago and started doing quizzes for clients, working with lots of different types of clients, from dating coaches to business coaches, to all sorts of different people. And whilst I was doing that, I was really enjoying, again, the writing side of it. And I used to get a lot of questions about life in rural France. What's it like? Do you really eat baguettes every day? Do you, you know, really drink wine all the time? You know, is it really like people say it is? I thought, maybe I should just do this as a creative outlet. And so that's what I did. I started the blog, or I started writing for it, back in October 2022. not really very seriously. And they then launched the blog, I think it was January 15th in 2023, so last year, so just over a year now. Didn't really know what I was doing, had no clue really about SEO. And then I stumbled across you and started to take it a little bit more seriously. And that's pretty much where we're at now. So it's just over a year old.
Which is amazing to get a blog, Mediavine in that time, especially like Europe is a very competitive niche. Because I mean, I want to live in rural France. That sounds really lovely.
I mean, that's probably also why,
yeah, it's probably also why you took off, because like, who doesn't want that?
Well, I must admit, if I was younger, maybe I wouldn't. But there's been some very, very funny moments. I mean, I moved over here and I didn't even speak French. I still don't speak French very well, but I am at least taking lessons now. And I've done things like shove myself into a local line dancing group where they don't speak a word of English and they only speak French to try and push myself to speak French. Oh, and I don't line dance either. So that was another challenge. So it's, you know, there's been moments where you think, what am I doing? But then there's other moments where you look around and you're walking through these picture perfect villages. And it is like stepping into the pages of a history book, because you're walking down these villages that are completely untouched by time, and the French really preserve stuff. And I've always been a history girl. I mean, yeah. I live in England for quite, or did, you know, I'm British. So we have a lot of history, and I've always loved that history. But then discovering French history has given me a whole different perspective. And it's like I go down these rabbit holes. You know, you start researching something on KeySearch, and then you're like, oh, and there's another one, and there's another one. And you're like, oh, I didn't know about the history of the baguette or where the croissant came from, or, you know, and you start going down these little rabbit holes, and it's so interesting. And my audience seemed to find it very interesting as well, yeah. Which has been great. And I think that's been a big driver for me, is I try and split things up into sections. So in my head, I have my money posts, I have my traffic posts, and I have my Kylie posts. And my Kylie posts are the ones I really love writing. But I'm really strict with myself. I don't let myself write too many of them. I try and see what people are coming back with my emails, to really be led by them. But yeah, if I didn't have those Kylie posts, it wouldn't be as much fun. So that's been a big part of it. And it's given me a huge excuse to just travel more of France as well. You know, I can now legitimately say, oh, well, I'm going to Paris on a work trip, honestly.
Yeah.
So that's been fun.
That's the best part of it. I think that's why travel is like, it's why it's such a competitive niche, but it's also why it's kind of one of the coolest. And I have to ask you, it's one of my favorite podcasts called Off Menu. It's British. It's a food podcast. And they have an ongoing debate of, if you buy a baguette, do you bite the end off before you get home?
Oh, absolutely. That's like mandatory in France. It really freaked me out when I first moved over here. Because like, why is it that no French people can walk down the road without nibbling the end off their baguette? But it's almost like law. They can't help it. The smell is so good. They will eat the end of the baguette whilst they're walking home. And it's kind of an unwritten law here. I do it too now.
It's so funny. It's one of the things that, like, in North America, like, it comes sealed at both ends. So you usually can't do that. So it never occurred to me, but like, it gets brought up on that podcast probably every other episode. And I'm always like, I wonder if this is like a real thing. So I'm glad.
Oh, no, it's a real thing. It's a real thing. And you know the French people, because it's usually them that will do it, unless you've been living here for a while and you've kind of embraced it, which I definitely have. Who doesn't have a baguette?
It's a good thing to embrace. I mean, it's, yeah. And then I wanted to ask you as well, because like France is quite, they're a bit slower from what I understand, at least definitely compared to North America. So for you, do you find that impacts like your kind of schedule for yourself? Because you do get to make your own schedule with the blog and your day job. How do you kind of balance all the time, I guess not pressures, but kind of anti-pressures, like to chill a bit more?
Yeah, it was definitely hard when I first moved over here. And I've written a lot about this too, because people do have this sort of idyllic vision of what it's like to live in a rural place like this. And France is slow anyway. You know, we still have 2-hour lunch breaks here. It's a thing, a big thing. So if you want to go to the bank in your lunch break, forget it, mate, because they're all at lunch. They're all having their 2-hour lunch break, because that's just how France is. And so you do have to embrace that whole ethos the French have of enjoying life. Life is for living. And that's very much how it's become. But I came from a very fast paced, you know, order something now, get it an hour later, only to come to France where, oh, if you order it on Amazon, it might get there in a week. So you really have to prepare yourself mentally for that. But having said that, I've run a business for a long, long time. So I'm very self-motivated. I've just never struggled with it. I am very good at sticking to timelines. I'm very good at not going off at tangents. I didn't used to be. Every shiny little object that came past me used to be, oh, come here. Yeah. But I've got much better at that. So I'm quite productive. But I'm strict with myself. With the Mediavine thing, I could have checked my Google Analytics every day, but I didn't, because then it becomes an obsession. My focus was very, very much to write good quality, consistent content. And even through the whole HCU thing, I wasn't hit by it. I'm very, very lucky. I don't know why, not complaining, but I wasn't hit by it. But I didn't also want to start worrying about what if I get hit by the next one. And because it's very easy to listen to all the negative Nellies out there and think, oh, and then you just get your whole focus gets diluted. And when that happens, you don't achieve what it is you've set out to achieve, because you're not concentrating on the one thing you should be concentrating on. And I'd set goals for myself. Back in August, I submitted my site to you on one of your Facebook Lives, and you were brutal, in a good way.
this is my favorite thing, because, like, yeah, I'm a dick, but in a helpful way. I remember I used to do blog audits a bit more often, and someone said, it's like she tells me my baby's ugly, but then she tells me how to fix it. And I was like,
you did.
It's my favorite. I love it. It's true.
You basically told me my baby was ugly. I'm like, okay, all right. I can go two ways with this. I can either put her face on a dartboard, or I can listen and go, she knows her shit. So, sorry, her stuff. So I'm just going to go with it. So I did. And I was on an old Elementor website, and you basically told me to ditch it. You were also quite harsh about some other things. So I thought, okay, I need to learn. This is the whole point of being on this course and being part of this group. So during August, I decided I wasn't going to write any blog posts at all, which nearly killed me, because everything in me was like, I should be producing content. And I didn't. I took, and I, at that time, I think I had about 70 blog posts. So it was quite a big undertaking. And I had to move them all from Elementor onto Cadence. And I was very attached to how pretty I thought my blog was. You didn't think it was, but I did. And so I had to take it and redesign it in this really basic looking Cadence website. Yeah. And I really struggled with it. I was backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards. I hate it. No, you don't hate it. You like it. And anyway, long story short, a month later, just at the beginning of September, new blog launched. I also changed hosts to Lyrical, who were, by the way, superb. Love their customer service. They're just so good. And launched the new blog. And during September, I then set myself a goal to write 4 blog posts a week. Which I did, no problem.
Well done.
I did the same thing in October, and then November came, and it was like something in me went, nah, need to move faster. This whole Mediavine thing is getting me. So I went up to a post a day, nearly killed myself doing it. Did the same in December, and stopped around about Christmas Eve and went, you're going to have a mental breakdown if you don't stop. So I did. I took Christmas off, and it was at that time that Mediavine, it just happened, and yeah, I realized I had enough and I could go for it. But it really was that focus, I think, that has helped things. That I don't know, with the whole helpful content update thing, I have a feeling some of the things I did in the beginning, I think, have worked really well. When I first started, I was very much more focused, rather than on travel, on expats wanting to move to France. And so I did probably about 25 interviews with other expats. And I think Google liked it. I think it kind of set me in their eyes as somebody who was very genuine, because I had all these other people who were all talking about the same thing. And through those interviews, and they were really popular as well. I only really had social media at the time. I had Instagram, still, you know, small, but people were reading the blog posts from there, commenting, asking if they could be part of it. No, I'm not doing those anymore. But I probably will do a few more later on. But they really did help to just cement who I was, what I was doing. And I think that was quite a helpful thing, because some of my other blog posts really weren't all that. They were more self-indulgent than anything else, which obviously you learn as you go through your course as to what works and what doesn't. But yeah, I think that was quite a big help.
That was a lot there. And there's so many things that like my brain.
Sorry.
That's a good thing. It's definitely good. No, my ADHD was just like, we need to ask 10 questions. But I guess my first one is, a lot of people always wonder about like how many posts they need to get into Mediavine. So do you know roughly what number you would have been when you got in?
Yeah, I was at about 125, okay. I think 125, 130, I think I was at that time. So yeah. And some of those, actually, I'd also gone through when I redid the site. Mm-hmm. I went through your content audit. Even though I hadn't had the blog up a year, I knew there was some that were probably hurting, the self-indulgent ones. So I no-indexed those. So, and in some of them, I set back to draft. So maybe it was 110
that
were actually live. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, travel, the average is usually closer to 160. So you're definitely ahead there, which is amazing. And I was going to say the same thing with the helpful content update. Like, I know you have the interviews. I know as well that like you were talking about, you went line dancing to like immerse yourself in this. You get that feeling from a lot of your blog posts. Like, you do get the feeling of like, I've really done this thing and I really care about this thing. You're obviously a really strong writer too. So like, I think that comes through. Like, you do put the authority and the experience pretty, I don't want to say like heavily in like a, I don't know, you're not beating someone over the head with it, but sometimes with Google, you need to do that, but you really get that feeling from it. And I think like that definitely added to your success as well, especially with, what's the word I'm looking for? Yeah, kind of just tying it all together, I guess, because that's an amazing success story. And I'm so proud of you. And like, also, I still apologize. I get kind of dickish when I'm doing blog audits, and I know it, but I really hate Element.
Oh no, it was, I was joking I wasn't.
No, but like,
it was very good because it helped. Like, that would have held me back, because I had issues with speed, and not just speed of sight, but speed of actually, the writing part's never an issue for me. But it was the speed of putting the damn things up on the blog, because it's like, this is taking forever. There was no easy way to do it with Elementor. Whereas with Cadence, there's been things like your templates, for example. So now if I'm doing an affiliate post, I mean, I've now sort of tweaked them to be more me and the things that I do. But it's so easy, because I just, shove in the pattern of the template and then inset all of the information. I mean, it'll still take me about 3 hours if I'm doing an affiliate post, but it's not 6 hours like it was before. It's cut it in half. So that type of thing has been massively helpful. I think one of the best compliments I got was somebody had taken my quiz. Because naturally, that was the first lead magnet I did, my own quiz, having written quizzes for other people, where she wrote back and she goes, I love reading your posts. It's like I'm listening to a friend talking to me, having a conversation. And I thought, that's exactly what I want to hear. That's how I want people to feel. I want them to feel like I'm that friend in France who you can tell anything to, because I've done everything stupid there is to do out here, that I'm never going to laugh at you. I'm just going to tell you all these interesting things. And my mum always laughs at me. She said, because why is it every sentence of yours starts with, did you know? So every time I speak to my mum, I've usually come up with this new fact about, did you know what Marie Antoinette said just before they chopped her head off? All these different things that I've found out. And by the way, she apologized to her executioner because she stepped on his foot. So all these different things you find out, and I get very excited about them in my emails and in the blog posts. And I do think that helps people to relate to you a little bit more.
100%. Yeah. No, I think that that's a really self-aware thing. And like, it's such an amazing compliment. Compliments like that are always like, they're
very happy with that.
Yeah. And I think that also goes back to like kind of the way a blog should be, is that it is you chatting with a friend to some extent, especially for most stuff. Like even she knows SEO, where like some people are like, you should be more businessy. And I'm like, I'm not going to be.
No, don't.
Not going to happen. I like being really chatty. And like, but I think that's kind of the nice thing, is like, I picture myself sitting down on my couch with whoever my audience avatar is, like having a conversation about it. And I think that does like lend itself to your experience writing. So you kind of know the right tone and things like that. But also like, you can feel your excitement when you talk about France. You can feel your excitement. And like, I love that, because it really does, it's engaging. I mean, I'll be honest, like, I'm not super into France. It's like, I went to Paris.
Oh, no, not everybody.
I went to Paris. I got the worst stomach flu of my life. We had to leave early. Like, it was not, I threw up in front of the Mona Lisa at the Louvre. So that was my mark on
memorable.
Not great. It was also like, it snowed when we were there, but it was spring. It was really, it was like cursed. It was such a cursed trip. But so like, because of that, I need to go back to France eventually, but not yet.
Okay.
But like, so I don't care about it that much, but like, you make me excited for it. And I think that's a really important part of it, is sharing that excitement. And yeah, like the things you would chat with your mom about are great to then like chat on the blog, obviously within the realm of SEO.
Yeah.
Some of the things I used to do too at the beginning.
Yeah, I do still have to rein myself in and think, no, not relevant, Kylie. Let's not go there. And so there are times you save that more for your email list, I think. You can be a little bit more personal with people because you've built a bit more of a relationship with them. But I think it's important. It's that you've got to draw them in. And they always say, you know, you've got a couple of seconds to make that first impression. And it's exactly the same whether you're meeting somebody or whether you are trying to draw them in through a blog post. You have to make them want to know more about you, read more about what it is that you're talking about. And even if it's the most unsexiest subject in the world, you've still got to make them excited about it. I mean, I was laughing the other day. I said, there's some super boring posts that I have to write, like, is there Uber in France? Is there Amazon in France? Who gives a shit? It's really not an interesting subject, but both those posts drive a ton of traffic.
Yeah.
So you just have to, but even those need to be made not necessarily amusing, but they still have to draw people in. And so if you can try and come up with ways of doing that that work within the context of what you're talking about and make sense and don't look like you're trying too hard to do that, you'll find that I think that has been really helpful too. And it's definitely helped with traffic, because that way you can compete with some of the bigger boys. I'm still amazed at how I managed to outrank people like Solo Sophie, who is way bigger than me with a much bigger DA. And not all the time, not by a long shot. But there's quite a few where I've really targeted something and gone out after it. And I thought, oh, done it again. And it was that moment of, and you get really excited and have that little celebration. But it is about how you can stand out from other people as well.
100%. So, I think that's a huge part of it too. Yeah. And I think that's the thing. People are always like terrified sometimes about going after those posts. First of all, I always say boring posts pay my bills. Like, they are the ones that like,
unfortunately, yes.
Yeah. And you're like, but I want to talk about, yeah, eating the top off a baguette. You need to write a post on that, because I do think it's a very interesting
post. I do think I should,
yeah. It's something that like is an important thing. I also don't know if you've ever read Felicity Cloak, who's a food writer for The Guardian in the UK. She did a book all about cycling around France to find the origin of different like French. So she went to all the places where certain French foods originated and like would cycle, eat them, then camp. And like, it was just her going around tasting it. It was so cool. Oh. It was a great book. It's either called One More Croissant for the Road or Another Croissant for the Road. And I can never remember.
I'll have to look
quality
for that.
Really, really good. But same idea there, where it's like, it's the fun, interesting things.
Mm.
Definitely had to put in like the basics as well, like how to get to France, like especially with a bike. Like I was like, how would you do that? I don't know. So I think that those pay off really well for sure. One thing I wanted to bring up was like, you have an email list, and that's something, especially post HCU, everyone is like, start an email list, which, like, for anyone beginner listening, yes, start an email list. However, you have to balance for sure, because it is hard. It doesn't, I don't know, if you start an email list, it doesn't magically mean people show up at it.
No, it really doesn't. But I think I'm probably a little bit different from others because I've run my own business, and my email list, the money's in the list. My email list was everything at the academy. I mean, we had 45,000, I think, on the list of the academy. So it was huge. But that's where we made our money. And so I didn't need convincing. So actually, I was probably the opposite to a lot of people. I created the blog. And then the next thing I did was create my quiz, get it up on the blog. It was up there from the minute I launched. I had an email list.
Yeah.
So it's that, to me, was always an important thing. I didn't need convincing. It was more a case of, well, what am I going to do? Well, it's obvious it's got to be a quiz because I'm not great at creating other things. I find them quite boring, checklists and that type of thing. I'm much more a interactive girl.
Yeah.
And the good thing is with the quiz, people will, if you know how to do the emails that get them hitting reply to you, which I do, then you get people talking to you. And I probably get one a day where somebody's hit reply and asked me a specific question. I have a little trick with my quizzes. So when I deliver the results to them, obviously they get the results on the web page, but they also get it by email. And then half an hour later, I send them another email, excuse me, with the subject line of, did you get it? That's it. That's the subject line. That is the most opened email that I ever send. And most people will respond to that because then within it, I'll just say to them, just checking in to make sure you got your quiz results. But I just, would you do me a favor and hit reply? Because then I know that my emails are going to get to your inbox. And they do. They hit reply.
What
I think I've put in there something extra like, and you'll be the first person to be on the list when I launch my book, which, by the way, isn't happening anytime soon. It will, but it's not yet. Not my focus. But people do that because they want to get on the list. They get interested. And it helps with open rates. And so things like that work. Ask people to, what do you want to know about France? What are the silly things you wouldn't want to ask anybody else, but you can ask me? And so people send me emails like, where did the croissant originate from? And of course, I'm like, oh, great question. I'm going to write a blog post about it. And so I did. So it's a really good way as well to find out, what do your audience really want to know? You know, what, apart from just using Key Search, which is the tool I use, it's also nice to know, what do they really want to know? Other than the, what's the best arrondissement to stay in Paris? And, you know, what are the best hotels in Bordeaux? What's the best wine tour? What are the other things that people are going to be searching for that they just find fascinating? Because France is one of those countries. So it's not like I'm just a travel blog. I'm a person that talks about the culture of France, the history of France, you know, all those other little things that go into making France, France. And France is just one of those countries people are fascinated by. I don't know why, they just are. And so that's very helpful to me because I can create all this content that becomes more than just me talking about hotels, flights, trains, cruises, you know, whatever it is. It becomes more interesting. And that helps keep people stay on my blog because they can't help but go, ooh, I didn't know that about Marie Antoinette. And oh my goodness, you can do this, that, and the other. And it just, I think it keeps them on there longer and it definitely helps. So I think if you're writing about a country that has anything interesting about it, expand on that topic because people want to know.
I would say the same goes for travel styles. Like I travel with my dog and he's a service dog, kind of like that ground. And I'm in so many Facebook groups on it where like the same question comes up again and again and again. And it is really like, first of all, they need to trust you to talk about it. Cause there's many, especially with service dogs, there are some people out there who like should not talk about having a service dog. Yeah. It's not. And then like, so it's like that there's an interest in it. There's also the passion often. And like with France, there's so many different reasons people are obsessed with it. I was literally listening to a podcast this morning. It's called the Off Menu one that I listened to with CMAT, who I don't know, but it's like some sort of, I guess, Irish singer. And they were talking about French food for an hour. And like, it was the perfect setup to chatting with you because I was like, okay, French, yes, great. But it's like, but it is, it's true. People get like quite, I don't want to say obsessive, but like very passionate about it. And I think that's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
I love the trick of like, yeah, the did you get it email. I'm definitely going to go set that up. I do one
where it works.
Like, yeah, like I always have people reply to me. This came from Liz Wilcox, what it's like, are you ready to like change whatever? And then people will like respond, I'm ready. I also, my sales sequences, I often ask, I'm like, hey, how are you doing? And that came against Liz Wilcox is almost too good at getting people to respond to you. Cause even my VA was like, whoa, like a lot of people.
Responded. Yeah.
And it is like, it's just like, how are you? Or like, what's it happening in your life or something? People want to talk and that's lovely. But if you can turn it into, yeah, like the questions that then you're getting market research out of these people.
Yeah, it's great.
Engagement, like, and I was actually going to ask next, like, if you were planning on a digital product, because it sounds like with your email list, you are so primed. So you're thinking a book down the line or?
Starting a podcast. That's because I've done one before. I did one for the Wedding Academy. And I loved it. I did two things. I did a YouTube channel for the Wedding Academy, and I also did the podcast. And it's not that I didn't like the YouTube side of things. I did. It was the whole, oh, God, I've got to put my face on. I've got to get dressed. Yeah. I've got to look good. And it's like, I'm in rural France. I'm either in my Ugg boots or I'm in my shorts and flip-flops. I don't want to do that. So I know that about myself, but I loved doing the podcast. So I have been researching what I need to do. I've been using my audience to find out what they want me to talk about. And so I should be launching around about the end of this month. I've got quite a lot of the things sorted now and I'm more or less ready to go. But I came up with some different ideas for what I could do with that because I thought I don't want to be reliant on Google.
Yeah.
I mean, if that helpful content update has shown us anything, it's that nobody's safe. It could happen to anybody. Just because I didn't get hit this time doesn't mean I won't get hit next year or this year or whatever. So I want to have another way of driving traffic that's completely unrelated to Google. And there's probably about five other really good French podcasts that would talk about a similar thing to me. And they're popular.
Yeah.
So there's not a huge amount of competition. So I'm going to launch that just simply because, as you can tell, I like to talk and I've got a lot of stories to tell. And the beautiful thing about that is I've gone through all my all my blog posts and thought, oh my God, I can turn that into a podcast. That I'm thinking, I don't even need to do show notes. They're all done. And when I put something out to the audience, you know, saying, what would you want to hear from me? They were all things like, we want to hear about Marie Antoinette. We want to hear about bread. We want to hear about food festivals, all these different things that I've written a ton of stuff on. I can just use those and then put in the audio, which will hopefully keep people on the page longer.
Yeah.
But it's done. I don't need to do the show notes. I can just use the blog post as my basis and then off I go.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then I realized, something else I wanted to do this year was, and this is where your other course comes in handy, talking about getting paid partnerships and sponsorships and what have you. So I signed up for that because I want to work more with the tourist boards over here. I did manage to get two last year, one of them being Bordeaux, which was great. I got free accommodation, food, tours, all sorts of stuff. It was fantastic, but I've never got one since. Not that I've worked particularly hard to get it, but the idea I had was to, one of the carrots I wanted to dangle was the podcast. I thought, what if I did a bonus episode once a month where I interview somebody from one of the tourist boards at whatever destination I'm trying to hit at that particular time, because they always have an English speaking person within the tourist boards there. So that's never a drama. So I've potentially got Bordeaux on board. They're already jumping at the idea of it. I thought, what a great way for me to get a backlink. It's a great way for me to get more exposure. it's a great way for me to get more of what I want when I'm approaching the various different tourist boards. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm quite excited about that. It's a lot of work, but yeah, it's a fun one. And now I'm at a point with the blog where I think we're almost at 200 posts now, maybe more. So I can ease off a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't have to go at it quite at the rate I've been going. As you know, I'm taking part at the moment in your writing competition, and that's just spurred me on no end. It's ridiculous the amount of words I've managed to write. But I've realized I can put a day aside for the podcast. And Fridays, yeah, I'm usually tired on a Friday, so I think Friday will be a podcast day because it's something different. Yeah. So I think I've got the time to do it. I've got the bandwidth. It'll be a great way to drive traffic that isn't Google. And yeah, I've got the ideas for having different guests on who I think will be of interest to people. So, and my expats as well.
I think that's great.
A lot of them. Well, you read about, I don't know if you've ever watched Escape to the Chateau. Hugely, hugely popular program about this couple who bought a chateau, as you do, and decided to do it up over 5 years. But so many people love the idea of doing that type of thing. And I've got two people I know who have done just that in different parts of France. So going to bring them onto the podcast. They have massive followings of their own, which again will help build my audience. So to me, that's kind of a natural next step. The book I want to do, but that'll be more self-indulgent, and I need to be a little bit on firmer ground with Mediavine and my affiliates and what have you. I need to be earning more money before I can indulge in the book.
I do find books as well, like it's our first instinct almost, because like mm-hmm. read other ones, stuff like that, but like you see a lot of people launch a book and they are kind of hard sold, I think, because if you're not like a big enough, if it's not either super informative or you're not like super super big, then it that there's that middle ground that's quite challenging. Like I see a lot of Instagrammers especially launch like a memoir style travel book and you're like, I watched it all happen, so I'm good. Or like that, that's informative, but it's informative. Like for me, I don't plan to go to France super soon. So people tend to wait to purchase, where I find like, that's why I love like ad revenue, affiliate revenue, is it's much more like passive marketing and you get it a lot faster, which is really nice. Cause
I
wrote a solo travel book at one point. I did a lot of failed products before I got to anywhere with even like my travel products.
Me too. I mean, the amount of things I've done when I've gone, well, that was an epic fail. But you learn by it. So I don't think anything is ever a bad thing to do. I think probably for me, the biggest thing has been getting rid of that shiny idea syndrome. I have no idea is a bad idea. So in order to curb myself when it came to new ideas, I have a Google Doc, and every idea I have is allowed to be put on the Google Doc, so it never gets lost. And then twice a year I have what I call my wine and whiteboard day, where I lock myself away with a bottle of wine and a whiteboard, and I'm allowed to pull out all those ideas. Mm-hmm. And I'll usually have three whiteboards and all the ideas go on one, and then I start to filter them across where they've actually got relevance to what I'm doing. And then there's ideas that go onto the said board that make the final cut type thing. And I think because I'm allowed to do that, it stops me going off at a tangent when these different ideas hit. And that's been a massive thing for me, is knowing that, understanding that, working that out. And I think that's also been a big part of my ability to have been able to get onto Mediavine, is that focus and not letting myself get distracted, because it is so easy. There's a lot of voices out there. And I've decided there's only two voices I'm listening to, yours and Laura's from SCO, your travel blog. And that's it. Because I think if there's too many, you start all these different ideas because this person told you to and that person told you to. And that, I think, can also be your downfall. So I think you've got to pick your experts. You've got to pick your people and decide whose camp you're going to be in and stay in that camp. Obviously, do your research. You know, I know you know your stuff. I know Laura knows her stuff. It's been proved in what I've done in this last year. So I'm staying in those two lanes and not letting myself digress into others. Now, obviously, I read other things, I see other things, but I try not to get too taken in by too many different opinions, because I think that's when you can do yourself more harm than good.
Yeah,
so that's something I've learned.
Yeah, sometimes you need to limit it, because at a certain point as well, like, you spend too much time listening, you can't spend enough time enacting. And especially, like, I don't know for you, but for me, I can't write and, like, also be listening to stuff. So,
oh God, no.
So, like, you
can't even listen to music with words, because then I find I'm writing the words and the lyrics, and I'm like, oh, no.
So I think that's the thing. It's like you're losing that time to actually put it into action. Like, sure, when you're formatting, maybe you can listen to a podcast or something, but, like, even then you still want to kind of focus on what you're doing. And I find a lot of people get very obsessed with learning everything. Like, I don't know everything about SEO. I don't think anyone physically could, to be honest. There's so much. And
I'm still learning a lot.
Yeah. And you'll see people, like, obsessed with, like, I need to have the perfect schema. My site speed needs to be half a second. And you're like, whoa, we can do all those things. But if you're spending all that time on everything, then you're not, especially at the beginning, you're not spending time on the foundation. And I think that's where you had amazing success, which is epic. And unfortunately, we're coming to the end, because there's so many more things I want to ask you. But I think we do need to wrap up, that way other people can go work on their sites, because they do need to. And so you can go back to yours. But so where can people find you? Because that's going to be, I'm sure everyone wants to go check it out now and get on your email list.
I'm at lifeinruralfrance.com, and the quiz is lifeinruralfrance.com/quiz. So really easy, and you'll see it anyway. And there's a little pop-up thingamajiggy for the newsletter too, which I think is the grow pop-up thing that comes up. So there's many ways to be able to see what I'm doing, but it's literally lifeinruralfrance.com. Very easy.
And we'll have that linked in the, like, comment, description, whatever you want to call it. So if anyone wants to just click on it, it'll be there for you. We'll also link the quiz, because it is a very fun quiz. And you will, you'll get to get on that email list and start seeing some of the amazing emails that Kylie sends, which I think is kind of some of the best ways to learn from people who are really strong at something, is just to, like, watch them in action. So I'd highly recommend getting on her list and checking that out. And I want to say thank you so much, Kylie, for joining us. This has been so much
fun. Thank you for having me and letting me chat away.
It's been epic. I love chatting travel and SEO. So this is, like, very indulgent for me. So everybody watching has a great day and is super inspired to get to work on their own site. If you don't have a quiz yet, you should get a quiz. They're very, very good if you have an email list. And if you're not quite at that stage, just file it away for later. But we will definitely chat with you soon and be back soon with another episode. Bye.
This podcast has been brought to you by She Knows SEO. I want to offer you a quick freebie to help you improve your output with AI. If you struggle with AI sounding like a peppy robot, I have the solution for you. All you need is a style guide. Go to sheknowsseo.co/style and you'll get my free ChatGPT style guide template. You will get a complete style guide to have AI actually sound like you, so that you can save tons of time editing. Again, you can find that at sheknowsseo.co/style.